The great Mongol Empire that had been created in the middle of the 13th century had initially offered some very favorable opportunities for Western European traders and travelers across Central Asia to further Asia. They had produced really very positive, as I say, opportunities for the Europeans. But then the Mongols chose Islam. There had been tremendous efforts on the part, for example, of Franciscan and Dominican missionaries to convert them to Christianity. But those efforts finally failed. And once the Mongols embraced Islam, they were a bit more hostile than formerly to the easy transfer through their lands of Christian merchants or travelers. But then the Mongolian realm was destroyed, was beaten badly by the Ottoman Turks. We've met them, remember, conquering Constantinople in 1453, finally putting an end to the Eastern Roman Empire. Well, the Ottoman Turks were much more militantly Muslim than had been their Mongol predecessors even. And now, in certain respects, the overland routes that connected the Eastern Mediterranean basin with Central and further Asia were now dangerous all the time and closed at least some of the time. So this produced, particularly for Italians, for example, in the first instance, Venetians, because the Venetians had built a near monopoly on trade in the Mediterranean basin, there were incentives to find other routes, to find other ways to reopen commercial opportunities with what was simply called the Orient. Now, that might mean South Asia, the world around India, and it might mean East Asia, the world of China and Japan. But the point is, there were now incentives to look for other ways to get into those markets. Everyone had those incentives. Partly they were competitive, too, with, that is to say, various parties wishing to compete with the Venetians. Some Europeans may still have felt at least some vestiges of the old crusading ideology. Remember Pope Pius II, Aeneas Sylvia Piccolomini, about whom we spoke in an earlier lecture, who was trying very hard to launch a crusade in the middle of the 15th century. He didn't succeed. We saw in the case of the career of Ignatius Loyola, perhaps in his desire to go out to the infidel, to convert the infidel, something of the old medieval crusading ideology. So there were various reasons and incentives for persons in Europe to begin this process of having a much closer look at the world around them. Now again, laying down all of these background factors is helpful. Context is interesting. Context is revealing. But context is not causative. None of the things that I have just offered as explanations tells us really why this phenomenon happened. In a way, what these things tell us is why it was possible for this phenomenon to occur. The whole situation throws up another question for us. Why was it Portugal and Spain? And not, let us say, France or England, or Italy, let's say the Venetians. Indeed, politically, economically, in other respects, we might very well have thought leadership rested with the northern European kingdoms, England and France, that they would have had great incentives to do this kind of thing. And it is worth remembering that the great voyages, and we'll see this in more detail in a second, the great voyages don't get underway until they have the backing of national monarchies. It takes a lot of money to undertake these great ventures. But in fact, it was Spain and Portugal. We might have thought, well, the Venetians, particularly after the Mongols went sour a little bit and the Ottoman Turks soured things badly in the Eastern Mediterranean, that the Venetians might have said, well, you know, we don't have to sail only in the Mediterranean. We can go out across the ocean seas and perhaps find other means of access to the peoples with whom we'd like to trade. But the fact is, it was Portugal and Spain. And then, curiously, it was Portugal. It was little Portugal that led the way in the first great era of European overseas expansion. Now, there does seem to have been a current in Portugal that may partly have been sort of romantic and partly kind of hard-headed and practical. There was a desire to bring succor to Christians who were allegedly living out there somewhere in Africa, again, Prester John and all of that sort of thing. But there was also a desire to get direct access to the gold of the Niger River Basin.